Bitcoin up over 20% off of its lows. Is the United States about to name Bitcoin a strategic asset? Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's episode, we're going to talk about Bitcoin and the latest news that Bitcoin might be named a strategic asset in the next administration. Let's start with the Bitcoin price. Now, I want to point your attention to the price action in the early days of July. What you see here on the chart, this blue line is an ascending trend line that has been in place since late last year and the SEC's defeat in federal court. What we have in purple is the 200-day moving average. And you can see that in the early days of July, Bitcoin met with this $58,000 trend line, ascending trend line. It also met the 200-day moving average, and it basically broke down below both of these within hours of each other. It stayed below both of them over the following few days. Then, after the events in Pennsylvania, the attempted assassination on President Donald Trump, Bitcoin started to recover, and actually, as we've covered for you guys, looking at the tick chart, Bitcoin's price directly responded to that news event. And then since then, it has gained momentum. It recovered both the ascending trend line and the 200-day moving average, as you can see, about 5-6 trading sessions ago. And then it had an enormous up day, followed by another one today, sending it over 66,000. And yes, this is about 22-23% above the levels from July 5th, those lows around 53,500. Now, what's next for Bitcoin? We have to watch the descending trend line, the yellow line here, to see how Bitcoin behaves, if it's able to break to new higher highs or if it's making lower highs. And a lower high would mean further consolidation here as Bitcoin really digests these 3 to 4x gains off of the November 2022 lows. So let's watch the Bitcoin price as it runs into 70,000. If it does clear this yellow descending trend line and then the blue line, which is its all-time high right around 75,000, it's off to the races because Bitcoin doesn't have any behavioral ceilings there. The only thing that can draw Bitcoin back down is a pop of exuberance. So you get a lot of leverage coming into the market, and that energy, it'll drive the price higher. Then when it gets overheated, that's what can draw the price back down. So that might happen when Bitcoin gets to 100,000, once it breaks out above 75,000. We don't know what that level is that will draw sellers back into the market. Probably somewhere around 90 to 100,000 will be the first large area of resistance. But again, it's actually idiotic to try to make too many explicit price predictions about Bitcoin. This is an unprecedented asset. All we can do is take confirmation from consecutive all-time highs every 3 to 4 years in this asset. That is the best evidence we have that we are experiencing an exponential asset. And if that continues to be the case, then our thesis is correct. And if it breaks down, we have to use the price as the signal. So if Bitcoin had gotten to where it did in the FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, November 22 lows, and it stayed there or broke down even further and stayed there for a year or 2 years, you're looking at a completely different asset and something that has really lost its exponentiality. Bitcoin clearly has not lost it. It has reached an all-time high here in 2024, and we do look for six-figure Bitcoin sometime in the next several months. The Bitcoin Layer is presented by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault where you hold 2 of 3 keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage and eliminate exchange risks with Unchained's trading desk. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, easily allowing you to roll over your existing 401ks and IRAs into Bitcoin while still keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to them today. Visit unchained.com/TBL and use code TBL for $100 off when you create an account. Now, really quickly on the Bitcoin protocol. Overnight, we had a very large global IT outage, an internet failure, and one of the largest of all time. And Bitcoin completely unaffected. Here's a tweet from Joe Burnett over at our friends Unchained. Breaking, Bitcoin survived the largest IT outage in history with 100% uptime. It's important to note because Bitcoin is not a company and the nodes do not exist only on one set of servers hosted by one company or even two companies. Okay, Bitcoin is hosted by nodes all around the world that have their own internet connections via Starlink or other internet services providers. Of course, some cloud services providers are hosting Bitcoin nodes, but for the most part, Bitcoin is sufficiently distributed. That means that there are enough nodes around the world and around the various internet geographies and cloud geographies that allow Bitcoin to keep 100% uptime. The last time Bitcoin went down as a network was 2013. So we're talking not just about 100% uptime in the latest global internet failure. We're talking about 100% uptime for over a decade straight. 100% meaning not a single second down. The next thing I want to discuss with you guys is something we've been working on. We're really excited about it. TBL liquidity. This is our attempt to measure the amount of money sloshing around the world that can be quickly turned into firepower for asset purchases. Now, this is definitely a Michael Howell cross-border capital doctrine that we've tried to apply here, but we made sure that we weren't asking Michael himself for how to build this index. We're doing so with our own understanding and our own data, thanks to Macrobond, our data services provider here at the Bitcoin layer. Now, I want to show you a chart really quickly to show you in purple, this is what we're trying to model out. It's the amount of money around the world in the banking system, and it is adjusted. We'll show you those adjustments. And I've overlaid it with Bitcoin here to try to show you that there is some fit. Now, we're not claiming to have made some incredible discovery just yet. We are showing you the beginnings of how we are making progress towards understanding global liquidity and the quantity of money and the quantity of flows that do cause movements in asset prices. Definitely go check us out at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for our free research publication that goes out a couple times a week. And if you guys are interested, you can become a TBL Pro. That gives you access to exclusive research as well as virtual Q&A sessions via Zoom and much, much more. So Bitcoin is reacting to our measure of liquidity, but what is this measure of liquidity? How did we come up with it? So I have on the screen here a little rough formula for you to show you how I've done this. And this is a crude version, and we are going to continue to build this out. We look forward to your feedback as well. So in the sum function, we have a sum of banking assets. So what I've done is I've combined the asset side of the balance sheet of the Fed, the U.S. commercial banking system, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, the People's Bank of China, and the Chinese banking system in terms of loans extended to non-financial players in domestic currency. In that way, we are able to limit the impact of the Chinese banking system on our measure, because when I was crunching the numbers, you guys would be shocked here. We know the Fed's portfolio is around $7 trillion. The U.S. banking system is around $20 to $22 trillion. The Chinese banking system was north of $50 trillion. So it would completely drown out the effect of the Federal Reserve and U.S. banks' money creation. Now, I don't know if this is a mistake or the right way to approach, or if we need some sort of adjustment for the size of China and our ability to determine its impact. We'll continue to crunch these numbers and run these regressions. My point here is that we've taken money from around the world and we've quantitatively measured, and that's why the number is around the 90 trillion level, because it's the sum of all these banking systems. So the US is about 30 trillion contributing, and China is about 30 trillion contributing, and then the other 30 is from Europe and Japan and the rest of the world. So right now we are, again, in the beginning stages of building this out, but I wanted to explain to you guys what the sum of the assets part of the equation is. Now, to the left side here of the sum formula, we have the 10-year note future divided by the MOVE index. So what are these two things, and why did we do this? Now, in the spirit of Michael Howell's model, he explains that liquidity is a measure of balance sheet capacity. That's why we have the sum of balance sheets. He also says that the balance sheet capacity is, a lot of it is dedicated to what? Government bonds. So banks owning bonds, central banks owning bonds, gives the financial system firepower. Now, what would give it more firepower if those assets were worth more? How do those assets go up in price? Rates go down. What is another way that these assets could have more firepower? If the haircut is less, and what do I mean by haircut? If you have a $100 bond in your portfolio, you can borrow up to $97 in the repo market against that bond. That's a very large amount of leverage that investors can take. Now, when volatility is moving up, that means that market makers have to put a wider bid-ask spread on their products. They also have to charge more for options. In this way, heightened volatility leads to wider bid-ask spreads. It leads to more expensive options pricing and therefore larger haircuts. What does all that mean? It means when volatility goes up, the ability to turn that collateral into firepower diminishes. It declines. So when volatility goes up, that should dampen our firepower. When rates go down, it should increase our firepower. So that's why the 10-year note is on top here, because when the price goes up, when rates go down and the price goes up on futures, we get more firepower. So we multiply it by the futures price and we divide it by the MOVE index, because when the MOVE index goes down, it's the measure of bond volatility. When it goes down, our firepower goes up. So then we like a lower number. We like lower volatility, and that increases our liquidity index. So hopefully you guys followed along there. We look forward to hearing your questions. Make sure to subscribe so that you're reading along and trying to understand better in the mathematics behind this, what we're doing. So this is the next level of TBL here. We're a research firm that we are striving for the best, and we're striving for excellence. And we heard from you guys, and really the investment public, that you guys understand, as do we, that liquidity is the driver here. But how do you measure it? How do you even define it? That's what we're building here for you guys. Now I want to show you Bitcoin as a percentage of global equities. Make sure to note here that this is a logarithmic chart, okay? So we are at about 1 2/3% Bitcoin market cap versus global equities. That is up from less than 0.1% a decade ago. And if you look at the parabolic nature of this chart, it obviously doesn't look parabolic to you because we've made this in a logarithmic scale. But yes, this is a parabolic move. It's an exponential move higher as Bitcoin chips away from other asset exposure around the world. It could head to 4% over the next several years, and that would be a doubling or a tripling of Bitcoin. This is to be expected here as Bitcoin becomes more of a universally accepted asset and not thought of as purely a risk asset. So this is, we'll talk about the strategic asset component here in a second, but that's what I wanted to lead with by showing you the percentage of Bitcoin versus global equities. Now, before we talk about the strategic asset here, I want to show you S&P 500 versus our liquidity index. You can also see that there is a match. Fourth quarter of 2023, the bounce happened, the pivot happened. Why? More liquidity came into the system because rates came down. The Fed pivoted. Bond volatility came down. So this boosted asset prices, you can see here. Now, I want to talk quickly about Bitcoin as an adoption wave, okay? We heard over the last 24 hours that Donald Trump might be showing up in Nashville to announce a Bitcoin strategic reserve for the United States. And we think this is very big news, but it shouldn't be a surprise because Bitcoin as a strategic asset, as a geopolitical asset, is something that is really well established from a historical perspective when we think about commodities. Think about gold and think about oil and how these two commodities have driven world wars and world affairs for the last several centuries. The understanding of Bitcoin as that type of strategic commodity is a wave that we do expect. And we want to give a special shout out to the people that are involved right now in explaining Bitcoin more thoroughly to the incoming administration so that it is part of the politics of the United States. Okay, and it is part of it because what we've had over the last year are major court cases in the federal circuits that confirm Bitcoin has a home here in the United States. And part of that confirmation from the court system are the approvals of the SEC, of the ETFs by the SEC that followed. What that means is that the government has to follow the judicial precedent. Okay, and what is happening right now is that Bitcoin's judicial precedent has been established and is being established in this country. The government has to follow the courts, and that is what is happening with the politics. The new administration, they see the signals from the court, they see the signal from the people, and they see signal from Wall Street and corporate America, and they are shifting toward policies that allow the functioning of these Bitcoin businesses. Now, whether or not the U.S. government is going to start mining Bitcoin or storing Bitcoin, it's mostly irrelevant to me. What is more important are the pro-Bitcoin legislation efforts and bills and signatures. Those are the things that are going to drive Bitcoin because remember, we're in a republic. We don't rely on the government to be the leader. The people and their companies are the leaders, and they're going to be the ones making those decisions, and they are the ones that are driving the administration. So again, a shout out to the people that are inside the ropes and making those recommendations, and we'll see how the government reacts going forward. Let's shift to global outlook right now. Look at commodities. Gold is breaking out once again to all-time highs. It's very, very close to 2,500. Again, this might be just the all-one trade right now with rates coming back down. That is an easier financial condition for the world as the dollar comes back down. Why does the dollar come back down? Because the relative attractiveness of U.S. interest rates decline as U.S. rates decline, as the Fed gets ready to cut, the dollar going down is a boost to financial conditions. It means it's easier for other countries to service their dollar debt, and it's also a reason to buy gold because gold's denominator is dollars. So we're seeing the price action in gold. We'll continue to note what's going on there. Let's look at oil. Oil, really a lot of muted price action as the world contends with the potential for a global recession. in the mid 80s right now, and I want to show you the oil gold ratio, because the oil gold ratio gives us a sense of how bullish the people around the economy are in terms of buying a productive asset versus buying a safe haven asset. Right now, it looks like people are buying the safe haven. They're not buying the productive asset in crude oil, which is the input to economic activity. This is a bearish sign for the global economy. And if you look over the last 10 years and the divergence of the treasury yield and the oil gold ratio over the last couple, could we see a collapse of yields to come back to the reality of where oil gold ratio is? I would say, and let's be categoric about this, I would say that I am well over 50% in my probability of distributions that these two ratios meet. That would put tens at 2%. That's a fall of 2.25% from here. So if I'm over 50% sure that that's going to happen, you can be sure that I believe tens are coming back down to the mid threes at the very least. That's my probability and how I'm thinking about it here, guys. Yields are way too high for where the economy is today. Let's just say that. So I do expect this catch down in yield as we go forward, but it might continue to be delayed as it has been, right? We were early to cuts in December. We said cuts would be in June. They'll finally arrive in September. So we've been early to predict this, but it's because we see the signs in the economy slowing, but the resilience in the U.S. economy has kept things going for now. We are watching the labor market, though, as you guys know. The last chart I want to talk about is the Treasury yield curve. So what we're looking here is the term structure of rates. This is not a time series. It's the term structure. I've taken out bills, so you see twos right at around 4.5%. The back end of the curve, 30s, right around 4.5%. And the belly of the curve, that's that 5 to 10 year part of the curve, very inverted. Why? The growth and inflation expectations in the 3 to 10 year part of the curve are muted relative to today's and the longer term. So in that way, the market is willing to take a lower yield. They're willing to take 4% for 5 years instead of 4.5% for 2 years, because they think that twos might be only yielding 2% in a year. So let's lock in the 4% now, because we might not be able to get it next year. That's why the curve is inverted. Okay, so it's an expectation of the market for things to slow down. This is what we've been telling you for quite some time. That's all for today. Thanks for sticking with us. Make sure to go check out Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. And check our research publication at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. And we'll catch you guys next time.